Clarence Bozeman of Maple Heights spent his career in public education. Back in 1963, he was brand new to teaching in rural Alabama when the news came that the Reverend Martin Luther King was planning a massive civil rights demonstration in Washington, D.C. Bozeman heard many negative comments, both from blacks and whites in the small town where he worked. King was branded as a rabble-rouser.
Most of it, you don't need to go to Washington. I don't see why they're there. They have nothing to demonstrate about. And the superintendent where I was said that if anybody took off to go to Washington, he would fire them.
Such sentiments didn't square with the man Bozeman had known as the head of Montgomery's Dexter Avenue Baptist Church.
I had worship in his church and heard him preach many times.
But Bozeman needed to keep his job, so he kept quiet as he watched the plans for the march unfold. Meanwhile, 800 miles to the north, in Cleveland, things were buzzing in the offices of the Cleveland Press. Ernest Holzendorf was one of three African-American reporters working for the press back then, and he says his editors were intrigued by reports that thousands of people would be descending on Washington for the demonstration.
In their minds, the big story would be all of these people came here and a riot broke out and all kinds of people got hurt and killed, and we were there to cover it, you know.
So the young Community Pages reporter was sent to follow a local contingent of demonstrators heading to the nation's capital.
We had three buses, and we gathered at Caramu House right there at 89th and Quincy, which is a familiar place. That's where I grew up. The buses all gathered there. We left in the evening, so we arrived in the morning in time for the full day's event.
Mark Gottsagen of Chagrin Falls was a white teenager traveling aboard a different Washington-bound bus that took off from his hometown of Bedford Hills, New York. The product of a liberal working-class family, he says it was a no-brainer to join the march.
We were made quite aware of the civil rights movement by press reports. And of course, we heard all about the protests and the hosings and the beatings. We raised enough money to hire two buses. I think we carried a toothbrush and maybe a fresh shirt.
After the overnight trip, buses from around the country slowly converged on Washington.
I remember looking out the window, seeing a sea of people and cars, wondering how we'd ever get through there.
Ernie Holzendorf says it wasn't the riotous scene that his editors had anticipated.
It was very homey and very peaceful and very friendly. Not a hint of hostility.
And then we met at the mall, and I don't know how this happened, but we got a really good spot. I was no more than 50 yards from Martin Luther King.
Needless to say, all the other speakers were blown away by King's presence.
I just recall that it was very hot, that when Martin Luther King Jr. spoke, there was almost complete silence. And I remember being awestruck. It was very emotional.
Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Clarence Bozeman's career as a teacher took him from rural Montgomery to Northeast Ohio, where he ended up as principal of Shaw High School in East Cleveland. Although retired, he still finds himself in classrooms as an eyewitness to the realities of the segregated South and to the man who helped break down some of those barriers.
As I go out on my speaking engagements, I find that many young people have no knowledge of the historical significance of the civil rights movement in general, and Dr. King's contribution in particular.
After his experience at the march, press reporter Ernie Holzendorf would go on to report for The Plain Dealer, as well as Fortune magazine, The New York Times, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. But for all the news events that he has covered over the past 50 years, he still has fond memories for that first big story on August 28th. 1963.
It was a day of days.
For Ohio Public Radio, I'm David C. Barnett in Cleveland.